We are in this series entitled The Lord's Waiting Room. Who's been in a waiting room? Some of you are in waiting rooms. I know that. I've been in the waiting room myself. I'm still waiting for some people to come back to church. Amen. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 37. Now, the title of the message today, and this, by the way, is number four in the series of The Lord's Waiting Room. The title today is Identify Your Delight. Identify Your Delight. This is important. Now, when we start talking about the future, and I know you graduates that, you know, it's something that you think about. What am I going to do? And how will this all work out and turn out and end up and all that? And then for those of us that haven't graduated just recently, but maybe we graduated a long time ago, life is a series of steps. Amen? Life is a series of graduations, if you will. And changes happen and changes occur. And so we need to be ready and constantly on this quest to identify desires that begin to form in us. Okay? So in Psalm 37, I want you to look at verse number 4. It reads this way. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, this is literally verse number 4, when the desires of your heart come and they're birthed in you and he manifests them in your life. That's getting out of the waiting room, right? When the manifestation of your prayer comes to pass, you've been believing God for this, and then the manifestation occurs, that's what we call getting out of the waiting room. The waiting room is a time of waiting. You know, it's kind of like when the nurse comes out with the little file folder and says, Mr. Coleman? Oh, yeah. And then you stand up and you go in, right? Or whoever Mr. or Mrs. in here or Miss. But the fact is, until they call your name, until it's your time, you're still sitting there in the waiting room. I've waited for a long time. I was told one time we were sitting down at the car dealership and we had been there for a few, we had dropped our car off at like 9:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock, and it was supposed to be a procedure that would take just a short period of time. And so we went and had lunch and did a little breakfast, and did a little shopping at one place and came back over and I turned the car back in. That was a mistake. About 3 hours later, we're still sitting there waiting, and I asked the guy, you know, would you check on this? It's supposed to be done. He, oh yeah, I'll get right back with you. Don't you love that? I'll get right back with you. Okay, about 10, 15, 20 minutes go by, and Ann said, I'm like, come on. So I stand up, I go over there. He left for the day. Ooh, the steam starts shooting out of my ears, you know. Come on, you guys. You've been sitting there for, you know, 2+ hours. It was supposed to be done and blah, 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 so on and so forth. And this guy leaves for the day and doesn't even come back. And nobody checked on the vehicle. And then I get this. Oh, it's still sitting. They haven't even touched it yet. Don't look so holy and innocent at me. I know that you would be feeling the same way. Some of you would let them know and give them a piece of your mind. I had to, because, you know, we're believers and we want to. I said, okay, here, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do now. I said, you're going to give me another car and, you know, you're going to get to my car right now, right? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Yankunis. Yes, sir. I said, okay, so, but now what you've done is you have stretched this out. Now I have to come back down. We'll drive your car. I said, I don't want you driving my car out to Stillwater, you know. I said, now I have to come back down here. And I'm going to tell you another thing that I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pay for any mileage overage on this car that you're letting me have. It was a brand new BMW, nice car. I'm not paying for any of that. You're not going to charge me overage on the miles, or you're going to charge me for the gasoline to top it off. You're going to fill that tank, and when I bring it back, there's going to be nothing said. Yes, sir. I guess I couldn't feel that I wasn't so happy with him. You know what I'm saying? I was nice, but very, here's the way it's going to be. So when you have to sit in a waiting room, it's nice to get out of there. Amen. Right? Well, this is the getting out of the waiting room right here. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So with that in mind, the word delight is a key word here. So let me ask you the question. What do you really delight in today? So the title of the message is Identify Your Delight. But let me ask, what do you really, really find pleasure in? You know, the Hebrew word for delight, it's an easy one to remember. You'd spell it, it's the word onag. You'd spell it A-W-N-A-G, phonetically, you know, onag. Onag. To delight means this, to find your pleasure in, to take joy in, I thought this was interesting, to take exquisite delight comes from a root word that means to be soft or pliable. If I am going to delight myself in the Lord, I need to stay pliable to what he's telling me. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's kind of like takes you back to the book of Jeremiah. You know, he's the potter. You and I are the clay, right? He's going to mold me, shape me, make me what he wants me to be. And if I'm not quite turning out the way I should turn out, some people have the idea that as he's got you on that wheel and spinning you around, and all of a sudden he looks and you just don't look too good, boom, he smashes you and starts over. That is wrong. God's not in the business of smashing his people. Amen? No. He's forming us and shaping us. The problem is that this little clay pot here can get up and walk. And so instead of you staying there and letting him mold and shape you, you decide you're going to shape yourself. And you end up all kinds of ways. Now you need to stay put. So what is your greatest delight? Some people, I think it's eating. I really do. I think their greatest delight, they live to eat. You need to eat to live. Not live to eat. I just can't wait until my next meal. Well, I mean, I enjoy eating, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a good meal. I'm not going to turn it down a good, nice meal, all right? But there are limits. What about hobbies? What's your greatest delight? Do you have a hobby? Do you have something that you really enjoy? What about a sport? Some of us have sports that we, play and are involved in. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. What about, is it what you wear? I mean, is it jewelry? Is it this? Is it that? What is it? Cars? With some of our guys, it might be guns. You really delight in that? I do too. Some ladies like to do scrapbooking. That can be fun. I'm not into it, but I think it's fine, you know. But what's your delight? What do you really delight in? Sewing? Some people really like sewing. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're not evil. They're not inherently evil. But what's the problem with it? When those things start replacing the priority that the Lord and his word should have in your life. What are you delighting in today? Here's a real potential trap for parents. Get this. Delighting in your children. I'm not going to tell you delighting in your children is wrong. What I will tell you is delighting in those children and putting them at a higher place of priority than you do the Lord God, that's wrong. Now, he wants you to love your children, and he wants you to, they should be your delight, but not your number one delight. Okay? My mom loves me. I know that. She's told me 10 million times she loves me. Okay? My wife loves me. She's told me, I don't know, millions of times. That's not really true, but that mom told me 10 million times. She'd have to say that all day long, every day for her whole life, and she's 94. So that's, you know, that's an exaggeration. That's an idiom, okay? But Anne's told me she loves me many, 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 many times. But her priority shouldn't be Dan instead of Jesus. You got to keep the Lord first place. So what are you delighting yourself in? Be careful of that parent trap. Doesn't that sound like a movie or something? Hey, it was, yeah. Be careful of that trap. That's a real subtle one. You know, I mean, I have to put my husband's, he doesn't want me to go to church. Woo, man. Hold everything. You know, do you listen to that? Hey, who's first? Who's ultimately the one who you are going to answer to? You should say to your husband, if you're in that case, I love you. Dear, I love you. Or if it's your wife who's trying to stop, you know, you from coming, I love you, but I answer to somebody higher than you. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to live for the Lord. And we can go and eat after I'm done or what have you, whatever the case may be. But I am always going to put the Lord first ahead of even you. And that may not be met with the greatest response, but, you know, you let them know right up off the bat, don't make me choose you or God, because you will lose every time. I mean, I can say that to Anne. Don't make me choose between you and the Lord. Now, she's saying, amen, you know. I mean, and she could say it to me. Don't you ask me to choose you or God first, because you will come in last. Second is the first loser, right? I'm the first loser. But the Lord needs to be first. Amen. So this delighting is related to the dependency issue and is key to you and I leaving the waiting room. When the Lord is at the top of your priority list in life, you can be confident that the desires that you have that are being birthed in you, you see that when you delight yourself also in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Those desires will be birthed in you, and you remember this and realize this. That is a primary way that God leads his kids. Now, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought that we were supposed to be led of the Holy Spirit. Well, you are. Who do you suppose is birthing those desires in you as you put God first? Who? The Holy Spirit. He is the one bringing those to you. Why? It's a lot easier for you and I to recognize desires that rise up in us, because he's going to then begin to order your steps according to the desire that he births in your heart when you keep him first. If he's not first and desires are coming up in you, they're liable to be fleshly. They're liable to be all over the place. Whatever is having the greatest influence in your life is where that desire will be birthed from, or that'll be the origin of that desire. If all you do is read Hot Rod magazines all the time, which, you know, I mean, I like car magazines too, but now and again they put women in there that aren't dressed very much. And so you can't, as a Christian man, sit there and gawk at that garbage. You shouldn't as a sinner either, but that's what sinners do. Oh, you know, if you got it, show it. No, no. Everybody's got it. You're not supposed to show it. Amen. Showing more meat than a butcher's window. You know the old saying. Cut that out. I remember years ago somebody said, I just don't. They had mentioned it. I forget how. They didn't tell me. But I maybe told Ann that, you know, seems like the men I attract are just losers. And it's like, well, don't dress like you're offering yourself up. You know what I'm saying? That the Bible says women are supposed to dress modestly. Now, modestly doesn't mean out of fashion. You can be very fashionable and still not be showing all that meat. Well, amen anyway, you guys, come on. It's the truth. This is the practicality involved in our Christian walk. Young ladies need to learn this early on. Young men need to understand that how to respect women. And it's just the way it's supposed to be. Men are supposed to view women as, and this is the way that we're to look at women, as our sisters. Okay? You know that saying, blood is thicker than water? The actual phrase is, blood is thicker than milk. The covenant blood makes you closer to somebody than if you both were raised or birthed by the same mother and nursed off of the same mother. That's what that's saying. Covenant blood. So as a sister in Christ, you ladies in here, you're my sisters in Christ. Anne is really, she is my sister in Christ. She's my wife. But ultimately, she's my sister in Christ too, right? I am to treat you like I would my sister and defend you like I would my own flesh and blood. And you don't look at your own flesh and blood with lust in your eye or ideas and that kind of garbage, that sinful garbage is what that is. So what do? That's the way you conduct your life. If you conduct your life that way, God honors that. Well, amen, Pastor Dan. You are really preaching it today. Amen. I'll give my own amens. Thank you, Lord. When the Lord is at the top of your priority list, you can be confident that the desires you have are of Him. He births desires in your heart. This is a primary way that He will lead you. Now, as I said, God is all right with you having a hobby. God is all right with you playing a sport. God is all right. As long as those things don't take the place where He is to occupy. God's not against you having a nice car and you even polishing it and all of that. You should take care of it. You should do those things. Just make sure you're doing the other before you're giving all that time to it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If your delight is somewhere else and not in Him first, then your desires will be fleshly. Now, if you even have to ask, is this desire of the Lord? I would say that's an obvious indicator you're not keeping Him first. If you have to ask, I'm not sure if that desires of God or not. Whoa. You're not being close enough to Him. Because when you're close to Him, you can be very, very confident that the desires rising in you are from Him. He will birth things in you. And as you draw closer and closer to Him, there will be some desires that you have held on to for a long time that you'll find out aren't from Him. When you have given yourself clearly to serve Him, when you give yourself to the Lord and you draw nigh to Him, your delights begin to be identified in your close and quiet time with Him. Another way of saying it, and don't leave Psalm 37, we're coming right, we're going to look there, but write this down, Matthew 6, verse 33. You know that verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That should take on a greater level of understanding in your life. When we start talking about delighting ourselves in the Lord and he'll give us the desires of our heart, that's the key to getting out of the waiting room. And the New Testament version of that is seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Now, Jesus was referring to the things that the goyim were looking at and seeking after, clothing and things and what they eat, you know. Like I said before, you're supposed to eat to live, not live to eat. What was it, the Cretans? Their belly was their god? I mean, it talked about the lasciviousness and their desire for to just, you know, take care of themselves and feed themselves whatever they wanted. Hedonism today is a word, H-E-D-O-N, hedon, I-S-M, hedonism. And that's just doing whatever you want to do to find pleasure. Well, your pleasure should be in the things of God. And then he will, I mean, when you're serving the Lord, things become pleasurable like no other way. When you're living for the Lord, it's the same old, excuse me, same old that people try to talk about, and they say, well, you know, I used to have so much fun when I was a sinner. Whoa, hold on a minute. Was that really fun? If it's leading and tending to death, the wage of sin, the Bible says, is death. That was so much fun. You haven't had fun until you are actually doing it and in control of your faculties. When you're drunk, you don't know what you're doing. You're not in control of your faculties. And that's not real joy. God is the source of joy. And when you're doing it his way, there's nothing like a good belly laugh when it's done in a godly way, in a godly setting. You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to think back to those days when you were maybe in the bars and doing all that stuff. That's a dead end. That's for losers. The bar scene is for losers, guys. It is. It just is. They're trying to substitute something, finding some way to get the peace that only God can give, and they try it through a bottle, and it never works. It never works. Or a pill, or a needle, or, you know, sex, or whatever it happens to be. All this stuff that people get involved in, it doesn't work. The only way you can have the kind of fulfillment in life is when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, when you're serving the Lord, when you give yourself to him. All this other stuff, God knows how you should have fun. And God's fun is better than anything the devil ever tried to come up with. I mean, as somebody who lived in the world, and, you know, I got born again when I was, right before I turned 19, I was 18. And that's right before 19, you know. And but the fact is, man, the enemy will lie to you about what how to really have fun. And people get caught up in it, all sorts of stuff. That's what sinners do. They get caught up in the pursuit of fun and happiness. Well, the Lord has a way to do it, and all that other stuff is a perversion of the right way. Now, let's look at Psalm 37 again. Go jump down to verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So, when you delight in the Lord's way, that's delighting in the Lord. Amen? I mean, it is. You can compare verse 23 and verse 4 back and forth together. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Well, does God delight in your way or no? Is he saying that you delight in the way of the Lord? That's literally what it's saying. Up here in verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. What? Delight in his way, verse 23. The ways of the Lord. Your ways are higher than my ways. Isaiah chapter 55 said, your ways are above my ways. If I'll delight and seek you, seek your ways. The Bible says you're going to give me everything that I have need of in my life in every aspect. Now he goes on and he says, he'll order your steps. You see that? That means he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's literally what it's talking about. He orders your steps in line with the desires that he's birthing in you. You need to look at verse 23 and verse 4 in this chapter and make a parallel comparison to those two. Meditate on both of those verses together to see what he's saying. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he will begin to bring desires in you. It's by those desires that he wants to order your steps to carry out. What desires do you have today? And again, you need to check and make sure that the Lord is first. But if your desires, when you're putting the Lord first, it keeps coming up in you all the time. You need to identify, what is it? Austin, I'm going to use you for an example in this in just a moment here. But Austin was enrolled in the School of Architecture over here at Oklahoma State. And he was doing really well in it. He was, you know, doing fine. Was accepted into the professional school there. And he came home. He was excited when he got the letter and all that. And we were excited. And, of course, we were happy for him and all that. And about 2 days later, he said, I'm not so sure I want to do this the rest of my life. Well, here Dad's ears kind of went, started to, you know, felt a little pressure building. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, you've got 2 years under your belt already. Why do you, I just don't in my heart feel this is what I need or want to do the rest of my life. How many people are stuck in occupations that they did because somebody pushed them that way? And their heart never really was in it. And as they seek the Lord, I've seen this. As they seek the Lord, all of a sudden their career takes a different turn. I'm thinking about a young man, and Brother Ron Brown, I remember we were at a prayer meeting. And this young man heard the word. I had preached some. Ron had preached some. It was in a house over here on campus. And I remember, John, you were there that night. Maybe you were. Yeah, I think you were. And we were ministering, and this young man came up, and he said, and he was like a 4.0, had a full ride to OSU. He was going to quit school and go to a Bible school instead. His parents were not happy when they heard that he wanted to do this. Now, I don't know how that thing ever ended up. I'm like, hey, I didn't tell him to do that. He had like one or two semesters to go to finish up. Get your degree, man. Finish it up. Yeah, but what if his heart's not in it? Well, with this, you know, young man, in fact, it was one semester to go. That's what probably made it even worse. He had one semester to finish up, and he wanted to quit school. And it was like, I would suggest that you just finish out the semester. You're seemingly having a simple time in this thing. You get your degree in it, and then if you feel in your heart you should go to Bible school, then go, you know. Since he wasn't the one paying for the school, and he had scholarships of some sort. I don't know if it was a full ride, actually, but it was disturbing to his parents. You get turned on. He accepted Christ and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and suddenly wants to quit school. You know, that's too early to know. That's why we say when you delight yourself in the Lord. You haven't been delighting yourself in the Lord all this time, and now the minute you get saved, you think you know that you need to quit something that you've put 3.5 years into and you're that close to getting the degree. I would suggest you not do that. And again, I don't know. I'd have to ask Ron if he remembers whatever occurred there. But the fact is, you don't do that kind of thing without seeking the face of God. You're very new in seeking the face of the Lord. Don't just make snap decisions. That's God. That means quit my job. Now, you know, no, hold on a minute. A lot of people have done this kind of thing. I'll quit my job, and I'm going to go into ministry. You're liable to end up very hungry very soon. Amen anyway. But Austin knew that his heart was not in. Austin was in a little different position. I mean, he's been raised up in the things of God, and you know, he does pray, and he prays in the Spirit, and he just had this, and I'm like, I had to pray, you guys. I really did, because I was like, I don't know about this. I think the response was, well, it's my life. Yeah, but I'm paying for it, you know. And after a little while, I was like, well, he's got to go with what is in his heart. And music is something that the Lord has anointed him to do, and he has a very acute ear. Not a cute ear, an acute ear for sound. So he's getting a degree in engineering, in sound engineering, sound music production. And praise God for it. Amen? I don't want him doing something the rest of his life that he doesn't feel he's supposed to do. Serious? Would you want your dad telling you, you're going to do this? That's tempting to me regarding the church. Okay, just airing a little family laundry. When Pastor John and I are out of here, somebody's got to take the church. What about Ann? Who says I'm going before Ann or Ann's going before? I don't know who's going first. What about Pam? Well, hey, I'm just saying, okay? Anyway, let's go on. You guys are really with me today. Appreciate that. The first thing that happens when you begin to delight yourself in the Lord is that he begins to order your steps through the desires that he births in you. Now, how you respond and how responsive you are to those desires is vital, okay? It's vital. Now, the second part of the process is bringing to pass those desires. He births a desire in you. You're seeking him first. He births a desire in you. He's wanting to bring that thing to pass, but now you have something to do with it coming to pass. You need to walk by faith, and you need to start stepping out in faith and do what he tells you to do. Remember what we've always said, and from the word, it's very plain. Like Mary said to the guests or the servants at Cana of Galilee at that wedding, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, you're not going to know what he's telling you to do if your car comes ahead of him or your house or your job or your children or whatever. Something is ahead of God. You're not delighting in him. He can't get it across to you. And then the desires that you have are not trustworthy because they could be hooked to and more than likely are hooked to the things that you're putting first. Amen. Fulfillment of the desires is not automatic. That's what you have to see here. If your delight is not in the Lord, how do you make the change? How do you begin altering the things that give you the greatest pleasure in life? How do you start altering that? How do you make that change? Remember last week we talked about abiding in the vine? How do you hang on the vine? Well, you don't really have to do much. You just hang there. Amen? But abiding in the vine, to abide, meant to have a consciousness about the Lord on a consistent, daily, day-in, day-out basis. Now, jump back to Psalm 1. Let's go back there. Psalm 1. Can you say today that you are abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you staying hooked up? Is the Lord your first delight? Or is there something else that you delight in more than the Lord? Okay. It's a good question. It's something that every one of us have to deal with on our own. before God. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight, see that, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is describing a word guy or a word woman, a word child, a child who understands that they need to keep the Lord first place. This is a word guy right here. This is what people that love the Lord do. They delight in the law of the Lord. They delight in the word. The word is always on their lips. Are they always having to quote scripture? No, but they do talk about the Lord more than just on Sundays or Wednesday nights. Amen? There's more to our life as a believer than showing up and doing your time in the service. Man. So, the Lord should fill your thought life, your thoughts, day and night. So to abide in the vine, abiding in him, is being consciously aware of the Lord every day and all day. Oh, yeah. And that we have a dependency on him. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was a guy that somebody asked him one time, how long do you pray every day? And he said, 10 minutes. That may surprise some of you. I thought that Smith Wigglesworth spent 3 hours in prayer every day. He didn't. 10 minutes. But then he quickly followed that up with, but I don't go 10 minutes without praying. So what he's describing is a consistent, constant contact, constant in his consciousness of the Lord in him, working in him, and him fellowshipping with the Lord. It was constant. He didn't go but a few minutes without talking to the Lord. Now, you can do that. Some of you have trouble praying for more than 10 minutes. Listen how quiet it is. Some of you have a problem praying longer than just a few minutes. And it's not in the number of minutes that you pray. I would suggest that you have constant contact with him throughout the day. Well, he lives in me. I'm always in contact with him. Really? Then this all ought to be automatic for us if that's the case. It's your choice to have contact with him. Uh-huh. Well, I delight myself in the Lord. Well, then why is it so hard to get you to church? Hello? Pastor Dan, you're talking to everybody that's here. I know, I understand. And there are people that are not here that want to be here. But, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I love the Lord. I delight in the Lord. Then why do you never come to church? Is he really first? Oh, I don't have to go to church to be saved. No, what you're doing is laying in bed so that you can fulfill lustfully things, fleshly desires in your life and live lazy and still think you're going to somehow slide into heaven one day when you depart this earth. And that seems to be the idea that a lot of people walk through life with. Well, I accepted Jesus when I was a kid. Well, why aren't you living for him now? If he's good enough to, you know, to believe on, then why don't you want to live for him now? What are you doing? You're not delighting yourself in the Lord, so you got all these desires, and you try this, and you try that, and you try the other, and you go this way, and you go that way, and you hook up with this one, and you hook up with this lady, then this man, and blah, 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 and the list goes on and on and on, and they never find fulfillment because they're not doing what we're talking about right here, delighting yourself in the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Ooh, boy, oh my goodness, there, this is going to separate the men from the boys, the women from the girls, the mature from the immature, the serious from those who are not serious. You're going to meditate in the word. You're going to keep the word before your eyes. Now you say, well, I have a job to do. I'm working a job, Pastor Dan. I can't keep the Bible right here in front of me all day long. No, but you have it in your heart. And you can talk to the Lord whether you have your Bible open or not. You can do your job. Now, I suggest you do your job and don't try to, witness for Christ when you should be doing your job. Well, who's first? Hey, the Lord had something to say about you giving an honest day's work. You don't cheat your employer. God doesn't want you cheating the employer. And then come along with this excuse, well, I'm living for the Lord and I'm going to witness Christ and I don't care what you say. Well, you're liable to get fired doing that. They can't fire me for that. Yeah. That brings reproach to the body. Do you hear me? Amen? All eyes up here. It's amazing. It's amazing, you guys. Good night. Brother and a son distracting the whole church. Good night. All right. So, listen, if we talk about walking in the Spirit, when you start walking in the Spirit, that's what this is. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you're consciously aware of Him every day, throughout the day. He's birthing desires in you. He's bringing desires in you. You begin to identify those desires. Do you hear me? Say amen if you do. Amen. He's birthing those desires in you. You're putting Him first place. And when you do that, that's truly being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, doesn't that mean, Pastor Dan, if I'm led by the Spirit, that He says, okay, take 5 steps straight forward and then turn right? Well, I mean, He can say stuff like that to you, but people have this goofy idea about how to be led by the Spirit in their life. That it means that I walk around all day long praying in tongues and I don't communicate in any English or your known language, wherever that may be. No, that's not true. You walk your day out knowing He's right here. He lives in you. Father, is there something you want me to give to this person? Is there something you want me to say to that person? Just always be on the alert, abiding in Him, consciously aware of Him. And when you get ready to leave out of your prayer closet in the morning, your devotion time, don't leave Him. When you shut your Bible or the book that you use for a devotion, whatever it may be, don't shut that and then put God back in the cabinet or on the bookshelf or whatever. You continue to walk that throughout your day. That's being led of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it involves praying in tongues. Yes, it involves reading the word, meditating the word, muttering the word, if you will. But this is very interesting. That's how you delight yourself in the Lord. It's a daily thing. It's an all-day thing. Even when you go to work, Christ is first in my heart. I'm doing this job. I'm going to do it effectively. I'm going to do it with honor. I'm going to do it with excellence. But when push comes to shove, I live for the Lord. Now, He's told me to give an honest day's work and do right by my employer. And those of you that own businesses, to do right by your employees. Amen. Praise God. But here's, again, we come back to this. The things that you think about the most are the things that you delight in. What do you think about the most in your life? And if it's not the Lord, you're not delighting in Him. I'm just telling you that. If you don't think about the Lord on a consistent basis in your life and have daily consciously going about your life on a daily basis, consciously aware of the Lord, then you're not doing what the Bible tells you to do. Delight yourself in Him. Well, Pastor Dan, I guess I need to make a change. Yeah. Yeah, so do I. I mean, I'm doing this, but there are days I don't do it as much as other days. Okay? Let's just be honest about our lives. You're lying. Just not even get the rest of it out of your mouth. You're lying. Okay? Because what we struggle with the most is the balance. That's where we struggle with things, is the balance of I'm living for the Lord, but how do I do my job and still live for the Lord when I'm crunching numbers or I'm checking people out or I'm, you know, doing this over here or that or whatever it may be? How do I continue? He has to be first in your heart. Amen. And the way you treat people should be in a Christ-like fashion wherever you're at any time. So, when you're in that place of putting him first, my goodness, those desires that rise up in you are from him. Now, remember Mary saying this in Luke chapter 1, verse 38? Be it done unto me according to your word. Remember when the angel came and she said, be it done unto me? Listen, when you have a desire that begins to rise in you, when you're seeking the face of God and you're delighting yourself in him and you're doing this consistently, you just say, be it done unto me according to what you're just birthing in me now. Those are safeguards. You know, I mean, when we set out to start this church, it was a time of seeking the Lord about it, and the evidence to start a church was overwhelming, and the confirmation came from all different places. And I didn't move quickly on that. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that delayed obedience? Now, on something that you want to be sure of, you keep seeking the Lord until you hear clearly and you know, and then he will confirm it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. 2 Corinthians 13 says that. Well, we waited and before the Lord, and hey, praise God, it all came together. Then it came time to do we build a building? And how do we go about that? And when do we? And where do we? These are not just simple little decisions that you just make off the cuff. This place is here today because some serious time of seeking the face of God was involved. Amen. And doors opened up, opportunity opened up for the purchase of this property. And one, I don't have time to take you through all that, but you have to know, you still through it all, you're being led by the peace of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Sure. Peace. Peace is ultra, ultra important. When he begins the unfolding of the revelation in your life, of what the desire is that he's placing in your heart, he begins the unfolding of that. He's going to order your steps of progress. As you listen, he'll say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. He will direct you and lead you and guide you. All that comes through meditating. He'll begin this unfolding of the revelation. All right? Then the action, your part, is to act on what he reveals about the desires. What's he revealing about the desires in you? Let me just close with this. Go ahead and stand to your feet. In Isaiah chapter 40, you know the verse of Scripture. In fact, I'm going to read you just a couple of verses right here, right now. Isaiah 40. And you know where I'm going with this. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. You see that? And the young men shall utterly fall. That's verse 30, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, right? You know this? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Well, hey, there is a purpose for the waiting room. And one of the reasons, or part of the reason that there is for the waiting room, is for the Lord to refresh us and to strengthen us for the task ahead. Think of it in this way. We've just read about the tree that's planted by the rivers of living or by the water in the book of Psalms. You'd be like a tree that's planted by the water, right? Trees, in order for them to survive, their roots have to go down, especially in arid places. The roots have to go down. They draw nutrients out of the soil and so on and so forth. But in every place, and here it's the same, trees have a stage where they are blooming and they're everything's growing and all that, and then they have the dormant stage. And they look like they're flat dead, right? You know what I'm talking about? When there's no leaves on the trees. We see that up north. It's beautiful, I know, in Wisconsin in the fall. And for a few weeks, everything's red and orange and kind of in between colors. It looks like everything's on just a flame. It's beautiful. And then in a little while, they all start turning brown, and they all fall off. And now you got this dead-looking tree. That's that dormant time. But during that dormant stage, that tree is collecting, and sap is being collected as it's dormant. During that period of time, and it stores up reserves of sap because there's a time coming when it's going to burst forth, right, with growth in the spring and then into the summer. And it runs a cycle. Well, when you're in the waiting room and you continue to delight yourself and seek him, he is birthing these desires in you. He's placing these desires in you. He's giving you thoughts. He will also bring those to pass. But there's a period of time when you're sitting there and you are in fact feeling like nothing's happening. It seems like I'm in a waiting. Yeah, you are. That's what you're doing. So let him renew your strength at that point. Because there's a task coming. He's put a desire in you, and you're not quite ready to walk that thing out. You're going to need more strength. You keep delighting yourself in him. You'll get out of the waiting room. The manifestation will occur, but you stay put and watch what the Lord will do. It seems like it's so long in coming. Have you ever been guilty of saying that? It just seems like I've been in this state forever. Well, I don't mean Oklahoma. I mean, some of you have been in this state forever. Amen. When is this ever going to happen? And so for your future, as you look at your future, you continue to seek the Lord. Delight yourself in him. He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't just go for our graduates. It goes for every one of us. God knows your desire. Bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that your goodness overwhelms us. We praise you and bless you, sir, that today is the day of salvation. Lord, as many of us have been in the waiting room and grown weary, we know that you renew our strength. We know that you give strength to those that are faint. We know that you renew us, so we thank you for that. We look forward to that time when the manifestation does come of whatever it is that you have birthed in us. But, sir, we want to be obedient to do what you tell us to do and continue to serve you regardless. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, and we praise you for that, and we give you glory. And we look forward to the day we get out of the waiting room. In Jesus' name, can you all agree with that? Say amen.